Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me from South Dakota State University is Padu Krishnan, a cereals chemist in the Department of Dairy and Food Science. Thanks so much for taking time and coming on the program today.
Thank you for inviting me, Kara.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's start with your research. With the beta-glucan content in oat samples. First, let's just start with why we need to know this. What's the importance?
Beta-glucan is a substance found in the cells, the cell wall of plants, and they actually perform some functions in the plant when the plant's alive, but when we harvest those plants and eat components of the plant, they are beneficial to us in our health, in maintenance of our health, and also in our nutrition. So beta-glucans serve to hold water. They're rather viscous. So if you think of oatmeal, look at the thing that makes it gooey or sticky. And that very same property allows it to do certain functions in the human gut, as in lowering cholesterol, moderating the blood glucose response to food, so it might be good for mitigating risk of heart disease, as well as serve as a control for diabetic diets. So These have medicinal properties or therapeutic properties in food.
So it's the gooey part that's good for you?
It is the thing that makes it gummy or sticky. Oatmeal, Some people may like it, some people may not. But
yeah,
you know,
I don't.
There are ways of consuming it. They can add some milk and drink it as a beverage, or you can eat it as a porridge. So there are several ways of doing it. You can incorporate it into cookies and bars and other products. So there are many ways of introducing that into a diet where, well, it'll you know, prevent the aesthetics it'll make the product more acceptable to you.
So this is where you get your heart healthy label on your cereal box, correct? By knowing this?
Exactly. Okay. It's scientifically proven. It's been the subject of research for many, many years. So we can actually legally put something on a label that says this product has 0.75 grams of beta-glucan or 1 gram of beta-glucan per bowl of oatmeal, and that allows for the product to be sold. You know, so people buy food products for a variety of reasons, and one of them is health. And we consume it for taste as well as health. Oat has got many properties to it. Taste is one of them, and many people actually like that taste. Also, it's also serving as a grain that provides nutrition, the right kind of proteins, the right proportion of soluble and insoluble dietary fiber, the right kind of fatty acids for health. So not all fats are bad. It's just a question of how much is included in the diet. So it has many, many factors going for it for human health.
So it doesn't matter how it's prepared?
We do process it. Sometimes what happens when you have high shear in blending and processing, that tends to break down the structure of the beta-glucan. So sometimes it might lead to smaller fragments that may be different in terms of viscosity in the gut. So sometimes it changes that, and then the physiology also changes in the gut. So processing may have an impact, but in processing we try not to do many manipulations. In oats, it's one of the few cereals where you can get the grain, remove the outer hull, and then you have the product called the groat, which is the edible part. And we pretty much steam it and then flake it and then cut it into three or four pieces, and then we cook it. So basically, it's simple steps, physical steps, and not much in terms of chemistry, or it's not an involved chemical process converting that to food. So minimal food processing, and in these days, we want minimal food processing because we don't want over-manipulation of our foods.
So you've received a $140,000 grant to develop a new near-infrared spectrometer, right? as a new way to calibrate this beta-glucan level.
Right. The traditional way of measuring beta-glucans is an enzymatic method. You take the food, you digest it with some salts and enzymes, and then that leads to some sugars, and then you make a reaction that ties it to a color reaction, and then the intensity of the color is related to the concentration of the compound. So you have a direct relationship, and you measure the color intensity in the spectrophotometer, and then you relate that to how much is found in food. So in oats, you can get anywhere from 2 to 6% of the dry matter, depending on variety and depending on growing conditions. And so you have a range there. So my purpose is to find a quick and dirty way, but fast and accurate and precise, to get that information, because time is money. And this information is important for decision-making. And it's important to the food processor. It's important to the grower. It's important to the plant breeder, who needs to know what parental lines to choose to give rise to new species, new varieties that have even better potential for food processing as well as health. We want to maintain as much of the beta-glucans and the fiber content as possible, and as well as the nutrition and the taste possible, without undermining anything.
So take me into the field as a grower, as a producer of oats, and needing to test this sooner, and then what would I need to do or change to have an impact?
Right. In plant breeding, traditional breeding, we're talking about building parental lines. You want as good a parental line as possible. I tell my students, if you want good qualities in you, choose your parents wisely. Well, you know, that's not a helpful advice, because the parents have already chosen, you know. So with plant breeding, you can actually choose those parental lines and actually decide what you need in terms of yield, in terms of agronomic potential, what the farmer needs to grow. Because the farmer is growing that crop for economic advantage, for what he can get per bushel, and he wants as much yield as possible, and he wants disease resistance. So this is something that the breeders have a different focus on, and they're trying to get as much bang for the buck for the farmer. And then once it's out of the hands of the farmer, then the processor has different sets of needs. They want to know exactly what's happening to the product and what are they measuring. They want to put their finger on the pulse, so to speak, as to the quality of the product and what is changing. So the processor has certain needs, the breeder has certain needs, the farmer has certain needs. So everyone has different focus, but all of them meet in the middle, so that ultimately the person or the individual that says yes or no is the consumer. The consumer is sometimes the tail that wags the dog, so to speak. And they can like or dislike products for very many reasons, because we are all a bundle of likes and dislikes in terms of food products. So if the consumer doesn't like it or doesn't buy it, then everything down, you know, everything below that does not happen in terms of production and processing.
So for the farmer, it's more about the seed that you select to plant. There's nothing that you can do once it's planted.
They have practices how they plant, when they plant, what mm-hmm. region, what area. So location makes a difference. The variety that they choose makes a difference. The precipitation makes a difference. And in South Dakota, we have a little bit longer as opposed to Canada, but 90-95% of our oats actually is brought in from Canada. We're trying to build our oat production in the United States, so it becomes an economic factor. In more recent years, because of the health concerns and people that are interested in healthy products, there's more and more growing of oats in the state, which has ideal conditions for growth. So we may have higher protein and higher beta-glucan. So we have a good shot of creating an economic product, and that's beneficial to the farmer. And it's also good for livestock. So not all of the food, you know, the oats is processed. Some winds up in livestock feed. And, you know, all you have to think of is the racehorse. This is a high-performance animal. and it consumes oats, which is a high-performance food and fuel for the animal. So the oat crop as a food is also a parallel in regard to high performance.
So as a cereals chemist, what's your favorite way to consume oats?
I grew up on Quaker oats, when I was a kid in Butterworth, West Malaysia. And now I consume all sorts of products, Cheerios, and variety of manufacturers process them. And so I like my oats because I happen to like the taste of oats. Mm-hmm. And I wish to meet you one of these days to convert you over to oats.
I'm going to have to come and have breakfast with you, aren't I?
Yes. And I've got many students working on many different projects right now. We are working on an oat beverage because right now oats is a product in the breakfast cereal aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to create a variety of products so that it's actually in the soups and the beverages and the other aisles. So it's got a good potential for use elsewhere rather than just in breakfast cereals. So we're talking about bars, we're talking about high protein supplements, we're talking mm-hmm. about beverages. So we need to diversify the product. That's one of my goals. So I consume my oatmeal any way I can. And I just happen to like the taste of it.
Well, I like oatmeal cookies, and I like oatmeal mixed with honey and peanut butter in a bar.
There you go.
Is that good?
That's
okay.
What I do as a cereal chemist.
I just don't like it soggy and goopy in milk.
No, I can understand. I'm married to an individual who doesn't like the gooiness of oatmeal, so I've been trying to convert her as well. So I understand that there are different taste buds out there. And there's potential.
I don't mind the taste,
it.
It's the texture.
Texture,
that's
yes.
That's my problem. Yeah.
Yes. The texture is what gives you those attributes. So when you consume the oats, and what happens in the gut, sometimes it's called fermentation, sometimes it's viscosity, and the rate of flow through your gut that allows these reactions to take place, and how it lowers cholesterol, how it binds with the bile acids, it's based on the physical property of that beta-glucan. So, yes, the viscosity does do that job through this physical functionality.
We will schedule a breakfast tasting innovation at SDSU.
I will invite you to that here.
I think that we need to do that, and I'm sure there's other projects that you're working on as well, or is it all about oats?
I'm a cereal chemist, and I'm also trained in wheat, and bread products, and pizza crusts, and Chinese noodles, and Asian breads. So I take the raw material that the producers, the farmers make, and turn it into innovations in food. And I also work with corn, and I work with a product called Distillers Dried Grains, and I make a fantastic food product out of it. In fact, I just received another grant from the Minnesota Corn Growers for developing corn products that are novel and healthy and lower the glycemic response of people consuming the corn products. So basically I can put about 10 to 15% of my ingredient in a pita bread, for example, and lower the blood glucose response, and this might be beneficial for diabetic individuals. So we know and we show the clinical proof and do the chemistries in the labs to document and to publish so that this is scientific information. And we have to ask the right questions and do the right experiments with the methodology and get the answers so that it's documented and can withstand the scrutiny of other scientists. And that's called peer review. So I'm also a product development person, so I'm also trying to get the product to be as tasty as possible so that people like you might eat these products too. So taste and texture.
And so where do you, I mean, we're hearing a lot of allergies to gluten as well, and so does your research help benefit people with those?
Oats traditionally, you know, it's actually a gluten-free product. In mm-hmm. fact, it's because of the way we handle it. You might have some contamination here and there, and people who are sensitive to gluten do you know, are prone to that sensitivity. So if we could handle oats a different way, harvest it, and that might solve the problem. But oat intrinsically does not have the potential to harm an individual. And there's always a small percentage of the population that is allergic to one or different items in the food. And we are seeing greater reporting of that. And I am a person who works with wheat products considerably. And we can do wonderful things with wheat because of the gluten. And it so happens that one of the two proteins that make that gluten, which is called gliadin, has been implicated with the gluten sensitivity of people. And we're working on some of the projects at SDSU on those as well. So it's quite possible to make food products without that, but I don't think everybody needs to be avoiding wheat because it's a very significant source of nutrition for society.
Padu Krishnan, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today, and I will reach out and we will schedule a time to do a live show from your lab.
Excellent. You'll be impressed.